Good morning, everyone.
It's good to have you with us today. Would like to extend a special greeting to our guests this morning. So grateful that God has brought you here to our church, and more importantly, to worship Him. So we're grateful for that. And this morning's a little different than our regular worship service because we are going to be in the process of just taking some time in these moments together to thank God for what He's doing in our church family. Today is a celebration for us in a lot of ways. And yes, every Sunday is a celebration. It's a celebration of God's kindness and goodness. But today we want to take time to thank God for what He's done to allow us the opportunity to dedicate this space to Him as we have refreshed it over the last few months. So in some ways, I've been eagerly awaiting this day, just knowing that then the project's over and we can move on, because it's been a lot of thought and attention over the last few months that now we can turn the page in some ways. But I also want to give us time to pause and reflect on the greatness of God on behalf of our church, to rejoice in His kindness as we have completed the sanctuary refresh. But it's more than just the physical changes. You know, that's what we see. But we also want to thank God and rejoice in the work that He is doing that causes such a project like this to be possible. Today, then, is an opportunity for us to give thanks and praise to God for the work that He's doing in our local church. Now, we just sang a song that sings of the joy of the kingdom that God is building. And I would like to think that here at North Anvil Bible Church, in our little neighborhood of God's kingdom, God is doing something special that we can add to and continue the work of Jesus's everlasting kingdom in the world. Now, I went back and forth in my mind as to what text to draw our attention to this morning. And I even shared this with the elders. They didn't know where I landed, but, you know, initially my mind went to the Old Testament texts that were in Exodus when they dedicated the tabernacle. And there were people that were called that gave of their skill and efforts to bring forth specific things that were a part of the worship of Israel in the Old Testament as they wandered in the wilderness. Or even Kings and Chronicles. And if you've stayed in our 11 o'clock salt hour, our sharing and learning together, which is a time for us to get together and learn in smaller groups, we've been learning in Rod Hostetter's class about Solomon and his life and ministry. And we've been spending a few weeks talking about the temple and the building of the Solomonic temple. And the people that gave of their time, gifts, and talents to accomplish that project. And then I thought of Ezra and Nehemiah. You know, the nation of Israel at that point in Israel's history was scattered, and God had providentially brought the nation back. And during Ezra's time, they were able to rebuild. The small group of Israelites allowed to go back into the land and rebuild. It wasn't the temple of Solomon's day, but it was a place that they could worship. And then Nehemiah, as they rebuilt the walls. And there's people that are mentioned in all of those passages from Exodus to Nehemiah that gave of specific gifts and efforts to accomplish those things. But I think that those passages only go so far. We're going to talk about some of those things later on, but I say that they only go so far because we have this reminder that the Apostle Paul gives us in Acts chapter 17. And it's in Acts 17 that Paul was ministering the gospel on his second missionary journey, and he was proclaiming the goodness of Jesus wherever he went in the known world. And he had found himself in Athens, which was at one point the heart and center of society and culture. So before the Romans took over, the Greeks had the greatest influence, and Paul was kind of in their capital city. And while he was in Athens, he made a statement while he was proclaiming the uniqueness of the sovereign Lord of the universe. And he made this comment about God as he looked around and saw all of the temples that the Greeks had, all of the buildings and edifices to the gods that the Greeks would hold on to. He made this comment in Acts 17:24. The God who made the world and all things in it, since he is the Lord of heaven and earth, he does not dwell in temples made with hands. So we know that God is not contained to a building. God's address is his throne in heaven, but on earth, he is everywhere. And so this morning, I don't want us to presume or falsely assume that this is the space where God lives in this community. He doesn't. But this space is where his people gather. We gather to find sanctuary, to find safety and rest from the restless pace of this world and the dangers that are out there. And so I pray this morning as you came to worship God, you said, you know, it is important for me, it is important for our family to gather in a place with other people that love God just like I do, and to be in a space where we are at rest in our hearts to meet with him. And when we gather, God joins as we lift up our praise to him for his steadfast love. And so, as I said, we're going to give thanks to God for the skill and efforts that many have made to make this project possible. But there is something greater to consider. That the completion of this project is really the tip of the iceberg as we consider all that God has been doing in our church over the last few years, this last season of ministry here at North Annville Bible Church. And so what I want to do for the next few minutes is just kind of walk you through the process of God's faithfulness that led us to be able to do something like this. And I would say that probably the roots or the genesis of this project started back in 2017 and 2018. Our first associate pastor, Kevin Green, if you know Kevin, wonderful man of God, he's a dreamer. He's a visionary. He's always looking to the future. And Kevin was really good at just allowing us to see things that really weren't there. You know, helping us to consider, you know, some steps that we could take. And so Kevin began helping us think through this refresh. And he met with myself and with our worship leader, Brian Wolf, and we began looking at this space and seeing what it would look like. And so Brian, before he retired, was a draftsman. And, you know, Brian is a good guy with details and putting those things together. He came up with an initial layout of what it would look like to have chairs in the sanctuary. And so, you know, we looked it over, and at the time, we just didn't feel like the change was feasible or necessary. So over the next few years, the sketch would be there. We'd look at it and kind of remind ourselves of what could be. And yet it just didn't seem like the right time. And then 2020 happened. Anyone know what happened during 2020? Yeah, let's not go there. But through this time, we continue to see God work above and beyond all that we could ask or think. It was amazing. Where I think a significant amount of faith communities were struggling, we saw God's hand work, and it's just been truly amazing. We saw folks find us through our live stream and then decide to visit and then decide to stay with us in worship. And over those next few years, we held steady and we were growing little by little. And then in 2023, we began seeing signs of sustained growth. For many years, we realized there was a missing generation in our church. It seemed like we would bring our kids through their junior and senior high, and then they would go off to college or start their lives, and they'd leave. And there was this huge gap between high school seniors and maybe people like my age in their 30s and 40s. There was this young generation gap missing. And you know, we prayed about it. And, you know, one of the things that I believe that helped answer those prayers was that Pastor Dustin began to take a focused effort on reaching and connecting with those young adults. And we saw over the last few years, specifically that age group, just kind of explode in our church. And we mentioned a few months ago that we started a new Sunday school class that is meeting the SALT session, meeting after morning worship, as a result of the growth that we've experienced. It's been awesome to see young people and young families, young adults just come and worship with us and be a part of what God's doing here. Over the last few years, we've baptized almost 30 people. Our membership classes have never been so big. And, you know, we've noticed it. We've noticed those observable things. But then the elders and I, we've been kind of thinking through, you know, we're starting to see these things. Maybe it's time to revisit that plan. Because we were reaching the point in the layout of our sanctuary at that point where we were reaching, I don't want to say full capacity, but there's an idea behind when a room looks full, it stops growing. I mean, they've actually done research on these kinds of things. And so we revisited that sanctuary refresh plan because the space was filling up. So we started talking about this in September, and I think it was in November, we invited the deacons to be a part of the discussion. And Jeff sent me a photo this week, I think, that was at that meeting where we're all kind of like the elders and deacons are kind of in this room and we're looking around and we have things laid out and we're just walking through this process that we began thinking about what the project would look like. And so we presented that project to all of you in January. And one of the things that compelled us to consider this change was to get rid of the pews and to add the seats. We were going to gain almost 50 seats in the sanctuary. And that has always been kind of what like prompted me, like, when is it going to be time to consider something like this? It would be when we were at a place where it was a feasible response and also, I think a way for us to grow in a significant way, but not overwhelmingly, like, you know, spend millions and millions of dollars building a building and doing all of those things. But this provided a reasonable response to the growth that we were seeing. And one of the things that they teach you when you go to school to be a pastor, and one of the things that we learned when we entered our first ministry almost 22 years ago, I guess now, was that, you know, change is always a hard thing. Any kind of change is hard. You know, there can be different reactions and different responses. And there can be challenges that come with that. But when we met with all of you, it became abundantly clear that when we explained the project, when we explained the need, and when we shared the desire of how we're going to accomplish it, that you were in support of it. And that was a huge encouragement to the leadership team here at the church. I mean, that's a big deal, really, that our unity was maintained. And honestly, there was a certain level of excitement. Not that we were doing something, but we see God working. And that's what we were rejoicing in. And so we moved forward, and we thought the project was going to start right around now. And now we're done. And that has everything to do with when the instruments that you're sitting on right now became available a lot quicker than we had imagined. And so we began this project the third week of February. And in 3 months, here we are. I'm definitely reminded often in this project of God's providence, of how he works, because there were weeks I was like, well, what's this week going to bring? And then it would happen and be like, oh, okay, that's what we're doing this week. Okay. But it was amazing to see how everything fell into place. The people that were involved in helping this project come to fruition were dedicated in their skill and desire to help in many meaningful ways. But this project could not have also been completed without all of you. Your commitment to the ministry here has allowed us to refresh this space so that there is room for us to grow in what God is doing. Now, one tangible way is your giving. And, hey, I don't know, sometimes, like, we don't like to talk about our personal finances, right? And then we don't like to talk about it as a church. But I think we should, because it's a part of the ministry and a part of what God is doing. And so, you know, we set a budget, a goal of this project of no more than $65,000. And while the final total isn't calculated yet, we're right around $59,000. And you could ask our treasurer and you can ask our bookkeeper, because, like, we asked a lot on them every week. It's like, hey, can you send this out? Can you get this ready? Can you do those things? But they tracked along with us. And there's that part of it. But there's also the increase in your stewardship that has been a huge blessing to accomplish this project. I mean, if you look in our bulletin every week that you receive when you come in, we share with you, you know, what our offering is and where it tracks with our budgeted need. We're roughly $45,000 ahead in our need for ministry. And it's, I think it's just a sign of what God's doing and confirming his plans and process for this project. Now, for us on the leadership team, we've also had the discussion with Pastor Dustin, the elders, and myself, why is this happening right now in the season of ministry of our church? You know, because I'll be here 14 years in October, and I don't think we've done anything really significantly different than when I first got here. Even today, I'm not even sure. I have an indication, but I'm not sure why we've experienced the growth we've had. And I'm talking about healthy growth. I'm not just talking about people. Now, that's important. But the most important thing is the spiritual growth that has been accompanying the opportunities that God has given us to minister to people. Significant steps of faith that people are taking as they find life and walk with Jesus. But one of the things that I'm learning, trying to figure all this out, is two main things come up all the time when I'm talking with folks that are a part of our ministry, talking with all of you. Two things are shared a lot. Number one, our commitment to teach the scriptures as God's inspired word. And two, that this church is a community to belong to and to be cared for. And so, it's not a magical plan. Maybe I could write a book on it. I'll probably sell 10 copies. But it's just very simple. Preach God's word and love God's people. And I think that's what God is doing as he's honoring the commitment that we are making here at this church to uphold those things. See, what is happening here is only because of God. We shouldn't be surprised, but it is amazing. It got me thinking about how our God works and how he often does more than we can imagine. So, if you have your Bibles out, turn to Ephesians chapter 3. Because for the next few minutes, I want us to consider a doxology that Paul writes in the midst of him sharing about God's faithfulness. So we're in Ephesians chapter 3. I want to read for you not just the last two verses, but beginning in verse 14. Because verse 14 becomes a prayer that Paul prays, and then he culminates with this overwhelming sense of giving thanks to God for what he's doing. Paul writes, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth derives its name, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in the inner man, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, and that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ, which surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled up to all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. These verses are a doxology. Now, the word doxology is kind of a big word, which it just means it's a form of praise for something that God has done. Here in Ephesians 3, Paul has been considering to this point in his letter the gift of salvation. And if you go to chapter 1, Paul begins explaining to the church in Ephesus that our salvation is a gift of God that has come from a plan that is deeply rooted in the love of God from long ages past. That before time began, God began this process of how will I save my people? And Paul goes through in chapter 1 explaining the doctrine of our salvation and the gift of our salvation from God's perspective. And then in chapter 2, as we consider the amazing glory of the gift of our salvation, we understand that it is found by faith alone in Christ alone, and that God, in saving us, fits us together into his family, where it's no longer a divided family, where Israel's over here, and now this new group of people called the church is over here. And the people that are over here in this new group, they could not have the access that Israel once enjoyed in the Old Testament when they would go into the holy place and offer sacrifices and offerings only through the high priest, but that Jesus came and broke the barrier wall down that divided the Jewish people and the Gentile people so that everyone that comes to faith in Jesus Christ has the access to be able to come into the family of God and enjoy him. That there is no separation. There is no designation between groups, that through Jesus, every person that knows and loves him and has received him by faith is a part of God's family. And so Paul explains that in the chapter 2, and in the chapter 3, he then begins talking about his personal ministry of that gospel that he proclaimed to the church in Ephesus. And he considers everything that God has been doing in this book as the gospel of grace, that we receive all the richness of Jesus through faith in his Son. And he's drawing a conclusion to the doctrine of all those things in chapter 3, the shift gears as we read in chapter 4 and following of how to live now that those things have happened. And just kind of in the middle of that, as he prays for this church, he can't help but thank God for the work that he's doing. And that's what leads us to these words in verses 20 and 21. Now to him who was able to do far more abundantly beyond all that we ask or think, according to the power that works within us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations, forever and ever. Amen. It shouldn't surprise us, but our confidence today is a result of God doing far more abundantly beyond all that we could ask or think. Isn't that how God works? Do you ever think in your mind, okay, this is how God's going to show up. This is what God's going to do. This is how he's going to work. I've read about it. And then he does something. You're like, whoa, I did not think he could do that. And it's not that he's doing things that are contrary to his will, but what I'm saying is, I think sometimes we approach God with this limited understanding in our finite minds, thinking this is how he has to work, and God shows up and he goes far more beyond that, that it just kind of blows the doors off of our minds and hearts, and we're like, oh my word, I can't believe that this is what God does. We ask for something, and God exceeds And even when we ask, the testimony of God's work is often far greater than we can comprehend. Now, Paul says that God does far more abundantly. That idea behind far more abundantly means that God exceeds and abounds in the way that he works. See, God is not limited even in our prayers. Now, I believe that prayer is important. I believe that communicating with God and giving him our desires, our wants, our concerns, that is very important as we commune with him, as we fellowship with him, as we walk with him. But I think what Paul is saying here in a significant way, and I sometimes think we miss this, is that God works beyond our comprehension. And so sometimes we're praying, and sometimes God is doing something far greater than what we're praying for. And I think we need to give room for that as we walk with him. That God works according to the power that works within us. That reminds us that God works according to the riches of his grace. That's what we're reading in verses 16 through 19, which is the beginning of this prayer. That God works according to the power that works within us. Paul mentions that it's through the power of his Spirit in verse 16 that Christ would dwell in our hearts by faith, that we would be rooted and grounded in love, and that we would know the height and the breadth and the depth of the love of Christ. That's where God is working the most. This is where this incomprehensible work occurs. That through the Holy Spirit, when we are rooted and grounded in the love of Christ, knowing the breadth and length and height and depth of the love of Jesus, that's where God's going to blow the doors off your life. You stay there, God's going to go far beyond anything that you can ask or think. And I firmly believe, even though I'm still in awe, that God is doing what he is doing because as a church, we remain committed to the gospel through the sufficiency of God's word, and we remain committed to loving one another. See, in Paul's understanding, we cannot love others unless we know God's love first. That's what he's saying in this prayer, that we can't grow in the love that we have for each other without first understanding and knowing the love of Jesus. And John said it in 1 John 4:19 this way, we love because he first loved us. So when those conditions are met, God is able to exceed our expectations. This doxology then is a reminder and a caution. It's a reminder of what God does. And we praise God when he does it. But it's also a caution. It's a caution for us as we read this, that God can't do these things in a very specific way if we are not committed to knowing the love of Christ. And so there should be pause in us as we think through this. The conclusion of the doxology supports the praise of our all-powerful God. To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Now, within the context of Ephesians, our salvation is a free gift as a result of the sovereign plan of God from eternity past that results in a supernatural change causing spiritually dead people to become the children of God. That is a God-only work. How dead people become alive. And not just become alive and animated, but they're alive to know the God that made them. And that he doesn't just know us to know us in our minds, but he knows us by bringing us into his family. That we are called the dearly beloved children of God. That work is only something God can do. That is why the Lord receives the glory and praise in the church through his Son forever and ever. It also serves as a reminder that all that is accomplished in the local church here is a result of God's power and he deserves the glory forever. So let's not lose sight of that. But also, let's not forget the generations. It's interesting that Paul includes this, that throughout every generation, God would be glorified in his church, and that God is glorified when he works through the generations, because the generations have remained faithful in their commitment in the love of Christ to grow in the grace and knowledge of Jesus. And I appreciated that reminder when we met as a group, as a church family in January, because one of the comments that was made in the kind of the discussion part of this project and what we were thinking about doing and what was going to happen over the next few months and all of those things was someone made the comment that I hope that we don't forget the foundation that has been laid over the years here of ministry at North Anvil Bible Church. Our church is coming up on 50 years of ministry. And over those 50 years, there have been countless people that have remained faithful to the gospel, remained faithful in their commitment to love the people of God, and where we are today is a result of that faithfulness. And so we praise God for his glory, working through the generations that allows us to be where we are today to praise him for his goodness. The saints that are home in heaven laid a foundation that has provided a place for spiritual growth, for us to experience here today and what God is doing, that has necessitated the changes that we made to make space for people to continue to grow and be ministered to. So as we close, we want to give God praise, and we do so through acknowledging the sacrifices that many have made to help complete this project. We praise God through showing appreciation to his people, and I think that's important. We praise God through showing appreciation for his people. And that is why the lists in Exodus and Kings and Chronicles and Ezra and Nehemiah are all about praising God through the work of his people. And I haven't really been a part of a project quite like this in ministry. And I would just say that it has been a supreme joy to know that every person that has been involved in some way, they love Jesus, and their desire is to give God glory through the use of their gifts in how they helped in this project. I'm not saying I want to do this anytime soon, but it was a joy to be a part of. And so I'm going to mention some people specifically that helped in this project. I'm going to invite you to come up front. I know. But I'd like you to stand kind of on the second step here, the wider step, and just kind of hang out for a minute. And we did this. My son had an awards banquet at school, and they specifically said, please hold all applause until everyone is mentioned. But every person they mention, everyone's clapping and stuff. Please hold your applause. I do want to start and just thanking God for Brian. He was really helpful in helping us visualize this project and kind of reminding us every once in a while, like, how are we doing with this and where are we at with it. And so he was a big help with the layout of the chairs. For Jeff Browning, Jeff was helpful with the design that we presented and kind of visualizing the things up front. He was also very helpful with the general just questions and ideas and those kinds of things. For Rod Hostetter, Rod was kind of my sounding board for a lot of things, as I would have questions about, you know, certain things that were coming up and how we should stage it out. And also, Rod was able to find a home for our pews, so they have a third life now in a church, and they're being used that way. So that was a huge blessing for Pastor Dustin, and I think he's downstairs working with the kids this morning. Dustin was the guy that got to do everything during the week that no one else was around to do. So if you see him, thank him for his effort there. We had the stage project. That was a big change to kind of make more room for everyone that's on the praise team. And Izzy was very helpful in designing the project, getting the labor for it, or the lumber for it, and organizing the crew, and just doing a great job in a short amount of time. He also helped with the removing of some of the demo stuff, like the old screens and those things. But he had some helpers. Rod's already up here, but Fred, if you're here, I'm looking at you. And then Larry is, I think, out in the entryway. He's on. He's a gatekeeper today, but we want to thank Larry for his work. The chairs that we're sitting on came from a company in around the New Holland area, Miller Church Interiors, and our rep, Fred Raup. I had invited Fred, but he decided to celebrate his wedding anniversary by going to Italy. So, but he was a big help. The flooring, the new carpet, Scott works at Lebanon Home Improvement, was really helpful getting everything set up so that we can get the flooring in. The repairing of the walls, which we had some plaster work that was done, that I know none of us were skilled enough to match it to the original texture, but Dwayne Giesman was able to do that. And I don't know if Dwayne's here, but he was invited, and just he did a great job. All the painting, Jim and Greg, come on down. Greg was recovering from surgery, and so was here a little bit, probably doing more than his doctors wanted him to. But Jim was really faithful, and you know, I don't know about you guys, but like, we came in saying, this is what we want to do, and I think every time I saw Jim, I had something else I wanted him to do. And he was super flexible and super helpful. The sound improvements that we made, you know, with the speakers and the balancing of the sound, Dan Schenck, and Dan is here this morning, I think. Yep, there he is. And again, he helped us troubleshoot a lot of stuff. And Dan's been a great friend of our ministry for a long time, has helped us a lot. And so we appreciate him. For all the electrical work, you know, we made some changes up here. We added different lights in the back. So John Smith, John spent a lot of late nights here away from his family. And, you know, he's doing a full-time job, and he's like, you know what, I'll come and give a night or two. And doesn't it look like me now standing here? You know what I'm saying? We didn't plan that at all, but that's perfect. But John had some help, too. Jeff helped a lot of late nights, and also Denny. So, Denny, come on down. And, you know, one of the things that was a great blessing was we were, there's a family in our church that has kind of a side business that they offered to the church as a help. And so Wynn was able to help us with tearing out the carpet and disposing of it in a way that was really helpful. And so we're grateful for his faithfulness there. And then the pulpit, you know, this was a part of the project that, you know, was just kind of like, okay, if all this other stuff was happening, this was my desire to get a new pulpit. And so Ron Barnhart, Ron was just, it was awesome to kind of work with him. I gave him, come on, Ron. I gave him a picture of what I thought I wanted it to look like, and then he came up with this. And he just, very awesome to work with. And then the design up front was from Angela. Oh, yeah. So this is just kind of a cross-section representation of people that gave of their time, their talents, their efforts. But there's also a lot of people, you know, to call up front here, there wouldn't be any room. So what I'd like you to do, if you showed up at all to help with unscrewing of the pews, of tearing out carpet, of bringing in the chairs the first time, or taking them out the second time, and bringing them in the third time. If you were a part of any of that, the work day, any of it, would you just stand where you are? So it just shows you that a lot of this was accomplished through the faithfulness of God's people being committed not to just a project, but to serve God with the use of their gifts. And so now we can praise God for his work through these people. And so before you guys go back to your seats. Yeah.
You got to mention Shane crawling under.
Oh, yeah. Is Shane in here? Shane. So we had a little like cutout to get under the stage, and during the workday, Shane was the most able-bodied person to crawl under there to get all the connections. So if the lights flicker every once in a while, no, I'm just kidding. But he did a great job that way too. What's that? Oh yeah. So we also throughout the building, I think this room was done a while ago, but Tim George has been faithfully working over the last 3-4 years, I think, allowing us to have temperature controlled rooms. And I think everyone appreciates not sweating. So yeah. But this is all for God's glory. And so we're thankful for the opportunity to walk with him through this process. And we're excited for where God is leading, because the ministry continues to grow and faithfulness, and we're thankful for that. But we do want to praise him, and we do want to dedicate this space to him, because it's all for him. So let's pray.